Yeah, and I thank the Father for the revelation that he has given us concerning the red heifer. And showing us that this red heifer dealing with death is very and absolutely necessary for the practice of a priesthood. And no wonder it is at this time that... Sorry, I can put that in the pocket. Yeah, I'll do that in the pocket. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I got it. Thank you. Yeah. That it is at this time that the Lord opened up this matter of the red heifer to all of us, mm-hmm. which is necessary to practice the priesthood. Right. And as you notice in Numbers chapter 19, this application of the ashes of the red heifer mingled with the living water is to deal with death before anybody can enter into the sanctuary, especially the priest serving in the sanctuary. You cannot enter in if you're not sanctified, otherwise you die. Death is an awful thing. According to the Bible, it's the most defiling thing. And as we have fellowship in the last few meetings, beginning in Genesis chapter 1, the disobedient brought in death. And Satan's goal is to bring us into death, not just to be sinful, but remember, death will always follow sin. Like Romans chapter 12, when sin entered in, death entered in with sin, and sin reigned, death reigned to all men. Not just in your body. You think death is only in your body? The body of this death? No. The body is not just the body, but it includes our soul and our whole being. What about your thoughts? What about your mind, your emotions, what you like? And what about your will, what you choose to do every day? What is your experience, BJ? Right? We all have the same experience because death penetrates our whole being. Don't just think it is the flesh. Right? So actually the flesh controls also your soul. The self, this is why we have the self, the pride of life. It's not just the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, but it is also your soul. The pride of life. It affects your thinking. It affects your ears, what you like to hear. It affects your tongues, your lips, what you speak and what you say. Every part of our being is penetrated by this death. Death enters not only through sin in the flesh, but then we all become slaves of sin. You think only the flesh does sinful things? No. The whole being is with it. You desire. What do you desire? Right. What about the lust of the eyes? You think the eyes is just physical? Definitely not. Right. What we are thinking of. You always think about the Lord? Right. Can we control the mind? We cannot. Because death lingers there. death reigns there. Tells you what to think. This is why we have trouble with our mind, our thoughts.
Right.
Who doesn't have trouble with his thoughts? I think every one of us have trouble with our thoughts. This is why the Bible talks about renewing of the mind. Why? Because there's so many thoughts that is connected to death. What you think you should be thinking, the mind just went there. When we turn on our computer, right? Can you control what you're going to see? What you're going to work with? Right. Even our desire. So death operates in every part of our being. This is why this red heifer, every part of it must be burned, including dung. Oh, goodness, why do you have to burn the dung, the poop? My sister mentioned about the poop. Including the poop. It has to be burned, the dung. Every part is infested through death in every part of our being, the hidden parts of the heart. This is why it says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching through all the inward parts. Even whatever is in our heart, who knows? God is the only one who searches the inward parts. Even the Word of God, when you're reading it, it's like a sword, a two-edged sword, piercing through to divide the soul from the spirit and then to expose the thoughts and the intents of the heart. How many times in our experience, our intent is not pure. It's not only not pure, but it's death. Death is there. We have a lot of intention that brought forth death. The hypocrisy, for example, murmuring, complaining, rebellion. And even we thought we are right. That's why we mention all those examples right from chapter 11 of Numbers all the way to chapter 19. And this is why before chapter 19 you have all those examples. Including Miriam. You think Miriam is an evil person? She is quite a spiritual person. Quite a good person. And yet you can see there's a leprosy. That means sin dwells in all of us, in each one of us. Sorry, it's not working.
Put it on the other side, maybe?
No. Sorry, it's too far away. I'll just put it right here, okay?
Yeah,
is it better?
Yes.
Can you all hear, yeah? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so sorry, yeah. I didn't realize it was too far away from here. Right. The situation with Miriam and Aaron, even Miriam and Aaron. Right. You think that is not death, what they were doing? And she didn't realize it was death. She thought it was her right. Yeah, I'm older. I'm the older sister. I even took care of you when you were a baby. Right? And who are you, Moses? You're my little brother. Who do you think you are? God speaks only through you. And all those deadly things that came out of her thoughts and then out of her lips and out of her heart. Remember what the Lord says, what comes out of the mouth comes firstly in the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of our mouth is death. But where was those death originated from? From the heart. And from the thoughts. The Lord knew our thoughts miles away before it even came to your mind. Death spread through our whole being. This is why the whole red cow has to be burned. Every part of it. Completely burned to ashes. Completely. That means every part of our being is contaminated with death. Yeah. Death reigned. We couldn't control ourselves. That's why we murmur. We complain. We're disobedient. We say no to the Lord. And we have our own thoughts. We have our own interpretation. Be careful. Because our interpretation, interpreting the Word of God, you're changing the whole will of God. Why do you think people are against bringing offerings to the Father? Is it so bad to bring an offering to the Father? Well, why do you have to do it on Sunday? Why do you have to do it on the Lord's table? You can even bring an offering when you're taking a shower. You can do it anytime, anywhere. Isn't that good?
It's not according to the Word.
Well, we're in the New Testament. You're in spirit. If you're in spirit, you can do it anywhere. Anytime. Anyway. When you're driving, you can offer an offering to the Father while you're driving. You better be careful, otherwise you get into an accident. Pay attention to your driving. But this is rebellion. They don't realize this is rebellion. They don't realize that. So, this is why Peter says, the first thing when you read the word of prophecy in the Bible, the prophetic word, because every word of God is a prophetic word, the first thing you should take care of, do not have any private interpretation, because you're dealing with the word of God. Can you imagine if you have your private interpretation, you're changing God's will and God's word? You think it's a small thing? You think when you're in spirit you can do anything you like? Who says? The more you're in the spirit, the more you're restricted and you cannot do anything you like. To be in the spirit doesn't mean you're free to do anything you like. Well, definitely not. If you're in the flesh, yeah, you can do anything you like. But not even what you like. It's what the devil wants you to do. You're not serving God. You're serving a different God. The small g. So death penetrates our whole being. This is why the whole cow, the red heifer, every part of it has to be burned. Because every part of our being, this is why the Lord, when He became a man, He bore all our troubles, including death. This is why He suffered. His suffering. He wore a crown of thorns. His hands has to be pierced. His feet has to be pierced. His side has to be pierced. He has to be beaten. He has to be spat upon. He bore all kinds of suffering and shame. What did he do? Right. What did he do? He didn't do anything worthy of all the kinds of suffering. His suffering is not just in the body. You realize when he was on this earth, he was misunderstood. He was rejected, even by his own family. And then his disciples gave him a lot of trouble. And at the end, they all deserted him. Especially that, you know, that chief apostle. Well, I shouldn't call him the chief apostle. But he was used by the Lord, Peter. Can you imagine his closest, I wouldn't say his beloved, but he was going to use him as the one who started, right, to open a way for the first church to happen. And when he spoke, how many thousands? 3,000, and then the second time, 5,000. Wow, so useful, right? Denied God twice, denied the Lord three times. That was a suffering, definitely. You think the Lord didn't know that? The Lord knew that. And then to have someone who is going to betray him by his side all the time. You think you can tolerate such a person? You're going to fire him. And he even made him the finance treasurer. Knowing such a person, you're going to make him and appoint him to be the treasurer, to keep the money back. You're going to do that? Will you? You think the Lord didn't know? You have to remember, before he appointed this 12, he was speaking to the Father all night. Although we didn't know what they were talking about, of course they were talking about the apostles. Who should be? And I can imagine when the Father mentioned, oh yeah, that person, if I were there, I said, are you sure, Father? Are you sure? Well, but it was already written in the Word way before it happens. And even how much he is going to betray you for 30 pieces of silver. The price of a slave. All of these the Lord has to go through. And now we realize why the Lord, when he was on this earth, he learned obedience through the things he suffered and crying out to the Father. With tears. If you read a book of Psalms, you will know the sufferings that the Lord went through. Right. You didn't have to repeat it in the New Testament writing of Paul. But just one chapter 5 of Hebrews, that's good. He learned obedience through suffering. I don't know, so many years I live on this earth, still haven't learned enough obedience. My eyes are very disobedient. And ears, what do you like to hear? You know, we don't hear the speaking of the Holy Spirit. He who has an ear, let him hear, but we like to hear gossip. Yeah. What did you say about him? What did you say? What happened? Our ears are dead. Why are we deaf when it comes to listening to God's word? Because we're dead. A dead man hears nothing. How about your will? What do you choose? The Lord tells me, don't do that. I said, I'm still thinking. Finally, I said, I'll do it anyway. Full of death there. Even our will is death. There's death spreading in our whole being. This is why it says we were dead in sin and trespasses. We walk according to the course of this world. Sons of disobedience. Children of wrath. This is why we do a lot of things we shouldn't be doing. Because death is working there. Right. So, through one man's disobedience, death came in. And that's why we're all rebellious in so many things. Korah. We're like Korah. Don't think it was just Korah. Then I've seen in the past few years, death, my goodness, it spreads so quickly. It's so awful, so terrible, I tell you. The last death that we experience is, wow, it spreads so fast even to the whole world. It spread to all the churches. Even in the 80s. Oh, that death, my goodness. In Europe, the same thing. This is why you all need to have spiritual discernment, life, through life. Don't just welcome anything. Right? Even here we realize, right? We're just a few. Oh, I'm sure you're very happy when somebody walked in. Ah, praise the Lord. Right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't say praise the Lord so quickly. Yeah. Right. We need to have a spiritual sense of life. Yes, we like to see people receiving the Lord and being saved. But that's not everything. There are so many people came out of Egypt. That's wonderful. It's good. But how many people entered into the good land? Huh? Out of that generation. And the rest who entered into the good land, they remember what God wanted? Nobody remembered until a few couple of hundred years later. How many years later then somebody thought about it? How many thought about it?
Just
just David.
Yeah.
And then who built the temple?
Solomon.
And who destroyed it? The same person. So much trouble everywhere. Death. It's not just sinful, but it is connected to sin. Death and sin.
Yeah.
Our close relatives.
Yeah.
They're like a pair of twins. This is why the red heifer is also called a sin offering. You read Numbers chapter 19. Right? It is a sin offering. But the emphasis is not sin. The emphasis is worse than sin. It is death. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. That's what you get paid for. You may be enjoying sin, but I don't think anybody can enjoy death. You enjoy death? I've never seen anyone who enjoyed death. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm dying. Have you ever heard that people say?
Nobody does that.
Ah. But sin, oh, give you pleasure.
Yeah.
Ah. The pleasure of sins, but you better think about the wage. You have to pay for it. You think Satan's going to give you pleasure and not to pay? You have to pay for it. Why did you work? Huh? Because you want to get paid, right?
That's right.
Oh, you want pleasure without pay? I like Paul's writing, the wages, wage. Where do you get the wages? You earn it. Right? You work hard for it. So what's the wage of sin? Will you work for something and you get death? Are you going to work for your company if at the end the payment is death?
Huh?
Are you going to work for such a company? Think about it. But a gift of God is eternal life. So don't think pleasure. Oh, there's a little bit of enjoyment. But that enjoyment, you have to pay for it. You think in Hollywood, oh, they get a lot of enjoyment, right? They get rich overnight. Mansion. Fame. Position. Ah, oh, you became great, well-known. You are going to get the hottest place in the lake of fire. That's your wage.
Yeah.
Don't just think about the pleasure, you think about the payment. Death. And this death is not just second death, that's the final death. But death is now.
Yeah.
You're cut off from the life of God. Your heart is hardened. Your mind is darkened. You're alienated from the life of God, although you're a Christian. When Paul talked about that in the book of Ephesians, He was not talking to unbelievers. That's why he says, don't walk like the Gentiles walk. He doesn't say that to the Gentiles, because Gentiles, they walk like Gentiles. They are Gentiles. But for us Christians, to walk like the Gentiles walk, then you get the same payment. Alienated from the life of God, the end is death. No wonder there is a church in Sardis. No, you think, oh, the church cannot be a dead church, right? There's no such thing as a dead church. We're believers, born again, forgiven. Right? You think those who are meeting elsewhere, and may God, whatever it is, they are not believers? So what kind of a church are they? Oh, very alive, right? They're alive in the flesh, but dead in the spirit. It's not just talking about life this and life that. The letter kills. It's not the knowledge. It's not the doctrine. It's not the good teaching. I don't care how good the teaching is. It doesn't give life. Wrong teaching doesn't give life. Neither does good teaching give life. Letter is letter. What is a good letter? Whatever color you use, black or white, because if you write white letter in white paper, you won't see anything, right? Whatever color, blue, and call it the life, what? No, as long as it's a letter, it doesn't give life. Not only doesn't give life, what it Paul says, the letter doesn't give life.
The letter kills.
Oh no, that's too strong. You better pay attention to what Paul said. But you know, would you receive wrong teaching? What about good teaching? Watch my knee, oh, Darby. Ah. How about that? What about the best teaching? We know to reject bad teachings and heresies and all that. But what about good teaching? You will embrace it. So, it's the tree of good teaching and bad teaching. Please, that's not my interpretation. It's called the tree of good and evil. So, you take the good, but you reject the evil, right? Won't you do that? If that is your criteria to choose, then you definitely fell into the trap of the devil. He gave you a wrong choice. He gave you two choices, good and evil, but it's from the same source, the devil. Don't think the devil only have bad things. Yeah. Is the car good or bad? Neither good nor bad. But you have a choice. You want a Porsche or you want a Nissan? Oh, yeah. Right. So, there you go. But God's choice is life or death. And these are two different trees. It doesn't come from the same tree. Satan is so subtle. So subtle. Right. And this is where you have religion today. Right. So we all fell into the trap. And death is more terrible. The result of whatever is good or evil is death. And death penetrates in every part of our being. Our hands, what we do, our feet, where it led us to. How come we go to the meetings on Sunday, we go to a lot of other places on Monday through Saturday. So which place is better to go? Well, you go to casinos Monday through Saturday, and then you go to church on Sunday. Ah, that's a good place to go. Where do you want to go? Oh, okay, I choose the church. What is the difference between casino and the church? Right. So praise the Lord that He shows us we need life, and this life will give you discernment. Our choice is life or death. Now, back to the red heifer. Most of the offerings are male, strong, a steer, an ox. Right? Why an ox? Because ox is a strong animal, bearing all the burden. You like to be strong, right? Don't you like to be a strong Christian? Can do a lot of work for God. You can bear a lot of burden and do a lot of things. You like to do a lot of works. What kind of works? Do a lot of dead works to serve the living God. You're going to use dead works. So many Christians ask for strength. Lord, make me strong. Strengthen me to do this work. We all like to be strong, right? Don't you like to be strong, Sarah? Oh, yeah, strong sister. Ah, praise the Lord. We're strong. Well, the Lord chose a what? A heifer. What is a heifer?
A young female cow.
A young female cow. You like to be a male or a female?
Male.
Look at BJ, so strong. Wow. We all like to be so strong. When the Lord was on this earth, was He so strong? But there was even no beauty that we would desire to like Him. He grew out as a strong oak tree. Is that what's written in Isaiah 53? He grew up like a what?
A reed.
Mm-hmm. What is a reed?
Long, thin, bladed grass.
You like to be a reed?
No.
A man of sorrows, not a man of renown, just like those in Korah. He's so famous. He's infamous. Everybody liked him. No, they all hate him. You like to be like that? And he's called a servant of God. You like to be that kind of a servant? Would you? He had a hard time choosing, right? We don't like to be like that. So is the Lord an ox or is he a cow? No wonder he came in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. He came riding in a Porsche. Riding in a big horse. So strong. In a donkey. Not even in a donkey, in a baby donkey. But would you like to ride on a baby donkey? Huh? 1 horsepower. Not even a horsepower, it's a donkey power. Not like your cow, it's a muscle car. It's not a cow. It's wow. You like to be that kind of a servant. But that is the servant of the Lord. And if you're such a servant, then what do you need? You need the Spirit of the Lord. That's why the Lord is a cow. The red heifer. Yeah. But you know what is a good thing about a cow? Can you bear children? But a cow can bring forth baby cows. Life-giving. Can you imagine there are only males right here in California? No female. There will be no children. No propagation of life. No? Can you be pregnant?
No. Impossible.
Oh, with injection?
No.
So what would you prefer, an ox or a cow?
We need both. We need both.
You cannot be both. Spiritually, we need a life-giving spirit. Christ is our life. Don't just teach doctrine. You need to be a person who gives life. I came to make you strong. And to make you stronger than an ox. Did the Lord say that? What did he say? And life more abundantly. So what are we? I came to give you knowledge and to give you more abundant knowledge so that you can get a doctor degree in philosophy and theology. How about that? Was the Lord a theologian? Who were the theologians? They were the bad guys, they were the theologians. But the Lord came to give life. He didn't come to steal and to kill. We stole from God. Even his authority, we stole it. God sent to him as head over all things of the church. I said, no, I'm his rep. You'll have to listen to me. I am responsible for the church. I am the apostle. I am his deputy authority. What kind of a person is that? He's a thief. And a bad one. You steal from God? You want to steal from God? You must be a terrible fool. No, but the Lord is a cow. Of course, he is also an ox, but a servant, one who serves in a humble way to give life. This is why the color red is not a color of the blood. It's a color of a life, because life is in the blood. Right. He came to give life. He is the resurrection and the life. Who can raise the dead? That's why you have chapter 11. Lazarus. Nobody else could be able to raise the dead. We were dead in sin. He raised us up. Isn't that wonderful? Not by teaching. I have seen so much teachings, volumes after volumes, but the more volumes, the more dead. Death, the more death. Because it is only the Spirit that gives life. The Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us. To do what? To make you strong? No, to give you life. And the life is the real strength. Because if you don't have life anymore, what are you?
Dead.
A corpse. And not even a corpse. At the end, you turn to dust. Right. So life is so important. Life is so important. Can you imagine the death of our Lord Jesus Christ through resurrection becomes a life-giving spirit? This is why the humanity of the Lord Jesus was designated now the Son of God, the firstborn Son of God. Not the only begotten, but the firstborn Son of God, who was of the seed of David, born in the flesh, just like you and me, but was then designated Son of God. Through resurrection, through the power of resurrection, the Spirit of holiness, he was designated as the firstborn. That is why we can become the many brethren. We are not a partaker of his status as the only begotten Son of God, as God. This is why we are not God. But we are partaker of his status as the firstborn Son of God, as his brethren. Don't say you are a brother of God. Oh goodness, you're God's brother. The Son of God. But God has many different kinds of sons. In Luke chapter 1, Adam was a son of God. Yeah. You mean to say he's born again?
No.
No. And the angels were also called sons of God. Because they are spirits. And God created them. And we are also sons of God. So we are God. Well, somebody taught. Dogs begets dogs. Cats begets cats. So God begets gods. That's not what the Bible says. No. But we are the life of God. We are sons of God, not just because we are created, but because he gave us the life and his Spirit now dwells in us. That does not make you God. Christ lives in you, right? So now you're Christ. No. That's what one person said in New York many years ago. in 1988 or sometime along that time, 88, 89. We are Christ. Stand up and say, I'm Christ. Why? Because Christ lives in me. For me to live is Christ. So I'm Christ. Oh, yeah. Congratulations, Christ. You want to die for me?
Yes.
Are you ready to be crucified?
Are you qualified?
Not qualified.
Not qualified to be crucified? And when will you be qualified to be crucified? Nonsense. 是胡说八道，胡说九道。 It's crazy. Right. But Christ became such a wonderful red heifer to cleanse us from death. So wonderful. Every part of Christ must be burned to ashes. Must be burned to ashes. Every part. Because every part of our being, whether it is the mind, the eyes, the ears, the tongue, the lips, every part is death. You know, itchy hands, children like to get this hand into the cookies, you know.
Into everything.
Into everything, right?
Mm-hmm. Everything they're not supposed to.
That's why you have to lock everything in the drawers, right?
Yeah.
To be sure that they don't mess around, right? Our feet goes to different places. We like to go to different places. And if it's too far, you just fly there. You got wings today to take you to so many places you shouldn't be going. We need to apply the ashes of the red heifer to so many different areas of our life. Influence, contaminated, infected by death. Right. Praise the Lord. Right. We learn to live Christ. Why is it we learn to live Christ? Because in every part of our life, whatever we do, we need to be saved from death and not just from sin. This is why we react the way we reacted. What comes out of our lips causes a lot of trouble. And what we are thinking is warped. When we are reading the Word of God, we are warped. We twisted God's Word, like what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3. Things we don't understand. Peter says, these people, they don't understand what Paul wrote because Paul wrote things that are hard to understand, so they twist the word. What is that? That's death. Death. So many things that we do, so rebellious. Don't think rebellion is just one word. Rebellion is in everything we do. If I'm doing things with my fingers, with my thought, with my will, with my heart, right, that I shouldn't be doing, desiring the things I shouldn't be desiring, that's destiny. We call it temptation. We call it evil desires. But actually it is death ruling there. Yeah. So, what did Peter say, right? When temptation comes in, it begins to work in you. And when that temptation grows, it turns into sin. And when sin ripens, it brought forth what?
Death.
Oh, yeah. Good doctrine, eh? The result is always death. So careful. When temptation comes, it's going to stir up something already. If you don't stop it right there, with the power of resurrection, you can see death already entering in, knocking at the door. If you let it in, then sin develops. And when sin comes to fruition, death comes in. Scary. It is really scary. Right. So praise the Lord, especially for the practice of the priesthood at the end of this age. This is why the Lord now opened up the matter of the red heifer to us. And the main thing is not to touch death. And there is only one solution. That is the red heifer. For sin, you just have to confess and, Lord, forgive me. Yeah? 1 John chapter 1 is precious because it cleanses you from all sins. Forgiveness is right there. If anyone confess, immediately the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ will cleanse us. You confess it, God cleanses you from every sin, all unrighteousness. But then it says, this thing I've written to you, that you do not sin. How? How come? I got forgiven, but I sin again. And again. And again. And again. What's wrong with me? It's the body of death. So if that sickness of death is not dealt with, you are going to continue doing what sin dictates you to do. The way of escape is the power of his resurrection. No wonder Paul says, I desire to know the power of his resurrection. We need to practice, exercise, and apply the ashes of the red heifer. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And the Lord is the reality of this red heifer. He is the reality of this red heifer. Isn't that wonderful? Not one hair. That's a different color. Can you imagine how many hair does a red heifer has? More than the hair in our head, right?
Yeah.
Huh? At least, right? I don't know. Probably a million or more. Can you imagine? Not one hair is different color. Okay, time is up.